Before we pray, I would like to read from Isaiah chapter 51, from verse 12. Isaiah 51, from verse 12. I, even I, am he that comforteth you. Who art thou, that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the Son of Man, which shall be made as grass, and forgettest the Lord thy Maker, that has stretched forth the heavens, and laid the foundations of the earth, and hast feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy. And where is the fury of the oppressor? The captive exile hasteneth, that he may be loosed, and that he should not die in the pit, nor that his bread should fail. But I am the Lord thy God, that divided the sea, whose waves roared. The Lord of hosts is his name. And I have put my words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee in the shadow of mine hand, that I may plant the heavens, and lay the foundations of the earth, and say unto Zion, Thou art my people. Let us stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you from our hearts for this day, for the opportunity to be together, to hear your word, to worship you, to bow before you, and to be blessed in you. Beloved Lord, be gracious to us, forgive all our sins, take away all thoughts that could be an obstacle at this hour. Let us be gathered together in your presence under the blood of reconciliation, under the blood of the Lamb, under the blood of the new covenant. Faithful Lord, grant us access to your sanctuary, to your throne of grace. You know all our needs, all our hardships, all our worries, all our difficulties. Faithful Lord, walk among us today. Touch each one of us. Comfort those who are sad. Strengthen those who are weak. Lift up those who are discouraged. Faithful God, save the lost, heal the sick, confirm thy word with signs and wonders following. We commit this service to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Since we are always concerned with the word of God, let me read briefly from Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the Word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. The emphasis we place in our proclamation is always on the Word of God, not on the many interpretations, not on the opinions that people give to the Word of God, but faith in the original Word of God, as it came from the mouth of the Lord, whether through the prophets or through the apostles, directly inspired, coming from God, written down. This is how we accept and receive God's Word. We have learned from Brother Branham that God is His own interpreter. God's Word does not need to be interpreted. God watches over His Word to fulfill it when the hour and the time have come. The same applies to everything Brother Branham said, and that may be hard to understand. We admit this with all sincerity, and that what Peter writes in his letter, when he refers to Paul in 2 Peter chapter 3, here it says from verse 14, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction." So there is nothing new under the sun. Even back then, people twisted what Paul taught, and not only that, but they also twisted the scriptures in connection with it. There are people who are simply twisted and therefore twist everything, whether it be the written word or the spoken word. It is only those who have been pardoned by God and have received respect for His Word, who do not interpret, who do not have their own opinions, but accept God's Word as it has been left to us. If even Peter wrote back then that some things in Paul's letters are hard to understand, what can we say today? After the seals were opened, many things were said that we are waiting for, that will be fulfilled. Sometimes God can use earthly examples to explain or testify to divine things. I am thinking, for example, of 2nd of April, when the Lord literally and verbatim named earthly foods by name, when he said, store up the food, potatoes, flour, several vegetables, oil, and all kinds of foods were listed. I, Ewald Frank, could only hear what was said. Who can blame me for actually storing all these things in large quantities? We filled the cellar with these foods because they were mentioned by name. And then suddenly, on the 3rd of December of the same year, I came to Brother Branham and he said, you have misunderstood what the Lord is saying. But I understood 100% what the Lord said. I just didn't understand that what was said in an earthly sense would have a spiritual meaning, and the multitude of individual foods that were mentioned indicated that God had prepared a variety of spiritual food for his people. And when Brother Branham then said, it is not earthly food that is meant, but the revealed Word of God for this time. Why am I mentioning this? Because Brother Branham also saw many things. He saw a large tent. He saw certain things that were to happen. And there are people who are just waiting for that to happen. You can see earthly things and they can have spiritual meaning. We must learn once and for all to leave it up to God when and how he will do and fulfill certain things. When we have understood that, then we will understand Brother Branham's statements, whether about the seven thunders, the seventh seal, the third pull, or all the various other things. We will leave it up to God when and how he will bring his church to perfection. For in the moment, we form an idea of how it should happen, we are an obstacle to ourselves and to God. In the kingdom of God, there is no place for interpretations or ideas. In the kingdom of God, we walk daily with the Lord in the expectation that he will still do what is yet to be done and he will not delay. So, please, let us not interpret what is hard to understand. For everyone who interprets, and I read this verse again on purpose, he interprets it to his own destruction and to the destruction of all those who believe his interpretation. I will read again what Peter wrote here. In which are some things hard to be understood, and now it comes, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Everything we interpret is twisted, and through this twisting comes destruction. We get caught up in a vortex from which we cannot escape, and look at these people without judging them. Once a person begins to interpret, they cannot stop. When one interpretation no longer holds, the next one comes, and then another, and then another. And it does not proceed, as it is written, from clarity to clarity, and from knowledge to knowledge. But in the case of interpretation, it proceeds from error to error, from one into the other. And may God preserve us all from this. And I know that He will. We have taken into ourselves an unadulterated, pure, divine seed, and there will be no room for anything else but the Word and the Word alone. No interpretation but the Word. We have already emphasized that from the beginning it was the enemy's trick to interpret the Word, not to deny it, but to interpret it. God had spoken clearly, but the enemy came to Eve, raised a question mark, interpreted, and said, "You will not surely die." And already the transgression was pre-programmed, and the separation from God, the ruin was there. God does not tolerate mixing. God separates. When He chose Israel as His own, He said, "You are the ones I have separated from all peoples and made My own." That is why He was called the God of Israel. And what did He say? "Do not mix with the peoples, not with the Amorites and all the others. Thou art an holy people unto Me. The Lord God has chosen thee to be a special people." They were not allowed to participate in the festivals and in what others did. They were destined for a very special purpose. And so it is with the Church of the Living God. The Church is the Ecclesia, the called out, God dedicated, sanctified Church for a very special purpose. And if we receive the Word of the Lord with truthfulness, then when the hour of God comes, it will accomplish what God sent it to do. For God watches over His Word to fulfill it. We can rest in God and His Word. We stop with all the back and forth. We rest in God. Not that we fall asleep. That is not what I mean. I mean to attain certainty of faith, absolute certainty of faith in God, to know this is God's holy word. Here are the promises He has given. We accept them in faith, in our hearts, and know that the Lord cannot disappoint us, will not disappoint us. He who gave the promises is faithful and will fulfill them in His time. For my part, I am very grateful to the Lord. It is not my doing. It is truly God's calling. And that is why God keeps His hand over it. For every human being is equal. There is no one who is different from his neighbor. Our hearts are always going astray, as it is written, the human heart is made that way. What does the Lord say through Paul in Hebrews? But they did not recognize my ways. They always go astray with their hearts. But then comes the other scripture. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in your hearts. And then the going astray ceases. Then we come from the wrong path unto the path that is straight and paved. And then we follow the Lord, no longer listening to the voices from the right or left, but solely to the voice of the one who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. And we believe that he has spoken clearly enough. And as we said before, if there are things that seem difficult for us to understand, we leave them to God and do not interpret them at all. When the hour comes, it will happen. John was banned to the Isle of Patmos, not to take a holiday, but for the sake of the Word of God and for the sake of the testimony of Jesus. These two things belong together. Whoever truly has the testimony of Jesus, and I will read this scripture from Revelation 19 to you, so that you may know what the testimony of Jesus is. Revelation chapter 19, verses 9 and 10. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he says unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Amen. These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. What a wonderful word. You all know that holy men spake and wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. It was divine inspiration. The spirit of prophecy was upon the prophets. They saw, they heard, they were inspired. The same Spirit of God must be upon us and is upon us. And this Spirit bears witness of Jesus Christ. And so we have the true words of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. The Spirit of prophecy leads into Bible prophecy, revealing, as we know, especially in the ministry of Brother Branham, that which was hidden throughout the ages has been revealed. And that is why it says in every church age message, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. The Spirit has used the mouth of a man to speak. You all know that God has always used people when he wanted to bring a message. He had the prophets and also the apostles. But that is why it is really necessary to be careful not to add anything or interpret anything, I emphasize this once again. Every interpretation leads to destruction. This is what we've read. This is what Peter wrote with reference to the letters of Paul, in which some things were hard to understand. Today it is no different. And who are those who twist things? They are those who are ignorant of the things of God, but think they know more and are more than anyone else. And Paul writes that we must not go beyond the testimony of the Scripture. It is very important that we remember this. Our own interpretations lead to ruin. May God preserve us from this. Peter continues here, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." When I think about everything that is being said, and that all of it is being attributed to Brother Branham, then one must be ashamed and ask oneself, how could it come to this in such a short time? Because these are the last days, and the devil is out to destroy the work of God. He will do everything in his power to discredit the divine message before the public. But he will not succeed. God has revealed his word, and all who are ordained to hear the pure divine message will hear it, and they will keep the word in a fine and good heart. They will not interpret it. They will not twist it. They will believe it and move it in their hearts, in great expectation that it will soon happen. So, unscrupulous people are at work. They do not know what they are doing, but destruction follows their steps. How many have strayed from the truth just because they listened to the explanations that were given? And then they say so nicely, "Huh, Brother Frank has withheld all this from you." How can I have withheld anything from you when I have translated all the sermons and you have them at your disposal and can read what was really preached and said? Is that understandable? How can I, who translated all the sermons myself, to make them accessible to you, to provide spiritual food, I have withheld nothing. On the contrary, I took the trouble to do all the translations, and anyone who looks at the series of sermons will realize, and perhaps also think for a moment, how much time it took to first translate all these sermons and then proofread them. No one would believe it. And those who have not translated any sermons say, "I have withheld it from the people." They are reversing the roles, and that is a very bad thing. But we are not dwelling on anything. We thank God for everything, and it serves us to the best. It makes us more grateful that the Lord has kept us sober and clear-headed. And I tell you, we can indeed preach this divine message with love and wisdom everywhere. And people will have to say, we haven't heard that before. But they will also have to say, everything that was said is from the Bible. That also made such an impression there in Nairobi. The man also said, I will listen to these video cassettes several times to read the scriptures you read again, to convince myself to go deeper into the matter. We are not ashamed of the divine message. It is God's word for this time, and what we teach, we can teach to high and low, educated and uneducated. Only with the conceited, it is a little difficult. The educated and the uneducated form one group, on the right and on the left. But the conceited are a group that is difficult to deal with. And God cannot speak to such people at all. They are like the Pharisees. They know everything better. Even before you say anything, they already know it. And basically, they do not know that they know nothing. Our knowledge and understanding are shrouded in darkness unless the hand of His Spirit fills us with bright light, as the song goes. So it is not we, but the Lord, who works all in all, and therefore we give Him alone the glory. There were one or two more scriptures I wanted to read, which have become great to me, although we all know them. 2 Timothy chapter 4, a word that personally means everything to me, I would almost say, because it was addressed so directly to me at that time. 2 Timothy chapter 4, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. That is all I want. I would like to comply with this word, with God's help. I want to stand in the shoes of Timothy on that day when these words were addressed to him. You all know that Paul had taken Timothy particularly to his heart, saying, I have no one like you among all my brothers. They all seek their own. But here was a man, and it was precisely this man whom Paul had entrusted with so much, whom he had, one might almost use the word implore, for it is literally written here, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a matter close to Paul's heart that the word be proclaimed pure and holy. And Paul, who could see into the end times, he said, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, people who always want to hear something, just not what God has to say to them." Here it is. Preach the word. We will do this until the Lord comes. This is our task. This is what we are called to do. It says here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Praise be to our God. What did we hear from Brother Branham? That we are part of the Word. The bride is part of the bridegroom. We are flesh of his flesh, bone of his bones. We are begotten and born of God by the same Spirit of God. We are sons and daughters of God. John writes, "It does not yet appear what we shall be, but when he shall appear, we shall be like him." It is written, "I have declared your name to my brethren." He is the firstborn among many brethren, the firstborn from the dead. Just as Adam was the first, and we all come after him, and Eve's come after Eve, so we all come after Christ, the second Adam. We still groan in this flesh. But when the hour comes, and the Lord returns with a trumpet and the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ are raised, then we will be transformed and taken up together to meet our beloved Lord. In the context here, in 2 Timothy 4, Paul knew that suffering would be involved. It says here in verses 4 and 5, "And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions." This involves afflictions, misunderstandings, and slander of all kinds. Only at the end did the bishop come out and say, "Brother Frank, if you had read the letters I received, you would know what a risk I took in arranging these meetings for you. But God arranged it that way. He ignored everything and knew in his heart that it was God who was guiding things." And another man said, who was standing by, a customs officer, a devout man, who became a believer 12 years ago when I was there. I met some people from the old days. He was standing by and listened when we said goodbye at the airport. And then he suddenly said, Brothers, if this were not from God, then the devil would not be against it. But because it is from God, he is against it with all his might. And so we thanked the Lord together. Then another man came and said, "Good day, Brother Frank. Do you remember me?" I said, "Certainly not." And he said, 12 years ago, I was your driver. I drove you, and we had the meetings. And this driver had become a believer and thanked the Lord and me. The most beautiful thing is that people are led to the Lord. And today too, this meeting is intended to help people who have not yet made their decision to make it today, that God's Word speaks to them, that the Spirit of God works on them, and that they feel that the Lord loves them. Out of love, Jesus died for us on Golgotha. Let us return to this one thought. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. I'm happy to do so. But I want to remain in the truth. And then I'm happy to take everything upon myself. And I hope that you are also willing to take some things upon yourselves. For look, just as our Lord suffered, so all who took his side suffered with him for his name's sake. Just as Paul and those who believed him had difficulties. And think of Brother Branham. What did he and those who believed him have to endure? Because they recognized that he was a man of God. It is the same now. Not only I who proclaim the word, but all of you who believe the true word of God will have to suffer. But somewhere it says, if we suffer with him, we will also reign with him. So let us be ready for Jesus' sake, for the word's sake, for the truth's sake, to take everything upon ourselves, if only we reach the goal. And God will take care of that. John had come to the Isle of Patmos for the word of God's sake. Everything was revealed to him. Brother Branham was sent for the word of God's sake. He put the word back upon the lampstand and said, "My task is to take the church out of all interpretations, out of everything, and bring it back to the word, because the word is the original seed." May the Lord succeed with all of us in strengthening us in the word of truth, so that no storm can shake us. On the contrary, when the storm comes upon us, the roots should only loosen a little, so that they can penetrate even deeper and become even more firmly established. A true child of God is like a tree planted by the rivers of water. No storm will knock you down. We may sway a little here and there, but the roots will always grow deeper, and God will ensure that we remain standing, for he is strong enough to sustain us in his grace, in his love, in his word. He is more than able to finish the work he has begun in all of us, unto the glorious day of his return. Blessed and praised be the name of the Lord. Amen. Let us stand up and pray. We bow our heads, close our eyes, open our hearts. Open our hearts in the presence of God. The Lord is here. We feel His lovely presence. The Spirit of God is like a dove. He settles gently. He comes upon the church. He speaks. He convicts. He shows us the state we are in. And then He reveals Jesus to us on the cross. And we look away from ourselves towards Jesus. And as the songwriter sings, whoever sees Jesus on the cross in faith will be saved in that very hour. If there is a soul among us who has not yet found peace with God, who has not yet been saved, dear heart, right now, the Lord is calling you. While all heads are bowed, I would like to ask those who wish to be included in this prayer to raise their hands briefly. Is there anyone? Thank you. God bless you. God bless you, young man. Wonderful. The Lord bless you. Oh, may the Lord be gracious to us. What a privilege to hear His word. What a privilege to use this time of grace to be forgiven. One day it will be too late. Is there anyone else who would like to dedicate their life to the Lord? It is not a human being who calls. It is the Lord who uses a human mouth to call you. Come to Jesus. Come today. Come now. Who else would like to raise their hand? Is there anyone? God bless you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, how wonderful. A sermon in all its weakness and simplicity, but the work of the Spirit is powerful. Let us now give thanks to God. Heavenly Father, You have seen the hands and the hearts. Beloved Lord, may You save, deliver, forgive, and show mercy. Accept all who come to You, O Lord. You have said that whoever comes to Me, You will not cast out. Beloved Savior, may all who have raised their hands now open their mouths and call on Your name. For it is written that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, will be blessed. May they simply say, Faithful Lord Jesus, I call on You. You are my Lord. You are my Savior. You died for me on the cross of Calvary. You shed Your blood there to redeem me, to atone for my iniquity, to forgive my sin. Lord Jesus, I call upon You. Be merciful to me. Lord, may we all call upon You in this way. And then You will be merciful to us. Oh, I thank You, beloved Lord, for all whom You have called today. Strengthen them, fortify them, and establish them. To You, the Almighty God, be praise and honor, glory and worship, forever and ever. Amen.